Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. We are packed on a Thursday live in L.A. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Great NBA stuff today. 1 hour from now, Super Bowl winning coach Andy Reid stops by, and Joy Taylor is joining me. How are you on a Thursday, Joy?
I'm good. My Heat took an L last night, but Pat Riley's making moves.
Pat Riley is making moves. I'm going to get to that in a second. Trade deadline at the end of our show today. So let me start with this. I would always rather pass on somebody that's expensive than pay for somebody and regret it for years. The worst thing in salary cap sports, like, you know, the NBA or NFL, is you're stuck with a terrible John Wall contract. That is the worst place. Listen, I would have some regret if I passed on a great player, but it's the NBA. There's always another trade and another player available. What you don't want is a terrible contract that you can't move. The Houston Rockets, who have a real smart general manager, had to move off a very good player yesterday, Clint Capella, who gives you a ton of easy baskets. He's a big guy who can run. He can defend the rim, and now they're the world's shortest basketball team. And why did they move off him? Russell Westbrook. They are trapped. $41.5 million for the next 4 years. He can't shoot. The game's moving away from him. He can't play with anybody, and he's hard to coach. I don't always love Harden, but he's coachable, and he is – the game's moving into him. So here's a prime example. They had to get rid of Capella. They love Capella. 2 years ago, all I heard, oh, I love Capella. I was like, oh, he's okay. I love Capella. Last year, oh, love Capella. I'm like, I like Capella. Now, all of a sudden, ain't no good. So they have no rim protector. Good luck in the West facing Anthony Davis, facing the Joker in Denver, Gobert, Giannis in the East with no rim protector. They got rid of him for one reason. They loved him. Westbrook. Russell Westbrook. I'll say it again. He's shooting 23% from threes. Think about this. Of all the NBA players who have shot at least 80 threes, Westbrook is 236 out of 236 players. Dead last in the league. He's a guard. If he was a center or a power forward, he's a guard. He is lower than Markelle Fultz, who 2 years ago forgot how to shoot. If I was Markelle Fultz and my microphone was the basket, he couldn't hit it. He's last and won't stop shooting and doesn't play with anybody, and he's uncoachable. Listen, I've been tough on four athletes in my broadcasting career in the last decade. Melo, Baker, Tebow, Westbrook. I'm 4 for 4. I don't go hard against the guy unless I know I'm right. I was right 7 years ago. I was right 5 years ago. I was right a year ago, and I'm right today. It is an unmovable, awful contract. For the record, Oklahoma City was sixth last year with Westbrook. They're a bunch of babies. They're in diapers. They're sixth again this year. And Houston was way better without him. Now they're worse, and Capella's gone. And they love Capella. All I heard for the last 3 years, all the time they put into Capella, all the scouting, they develop him, the coaching. Do you know how much time Houston put into Clint Capella? All the easy baskets, all the rim protection, gone. Because he can't shoot. That's a fair knock, but it's okay. I'm okay if you have a big who can't shoot. If he rebounds, he gets you easy baskets. You can have one of those guys, but you can't have two. And you certainly can't have Westbrook shooting 23% from threes. He's gotten worse. Not sure how it's possible. He has. So in sports, yes, I would regret not spending big money for a great player. But there's always another player out there. I mean, take out Patrick Mahomes. You can replace. There's always another great quarterback or two out there. There's somebody that can win you games. Kirk Cousins can win you games. But what you don't want in the NBA is a bad contract that you can't move. You can't move John Wall's deal. You can't move Westbrook's deal now. And I've been right on this. I got nothing against him. But don't tell me you love Capella for 2 years and now you're moving him. If you can't defend the 10 against Anthony Davis and the Joker and Giannis, they're just and Embiid if you played him in the playoffs eventually. You can't be as short as Houston is today. You can't have P.J. Tucker who's your five. So it's nothing against Russell Westbrook. It really isn't. But I've been right on this. I'm right again. Houston's worse with him. OKC's fine without him. And his contract's 41.5 large. Folks, he's 236th out of 236 guys shooting threes. I mean, Houston 2 years ago was a Chris Paul hamstring from beating the Warriors and getting to the finals and probably winning it. Now, they don't even have an identity. Their identity is they're the shortest team in the league with one guy who can consistently nail a three. I still don't think Daryl Morey wanted Westbrook. My gut feeling is the owner wanted him. The GM didn't. He didn't make any sense day one analytically. It didn't make sense. All right, let's shift to this. So the Miami Heat are back. Now, not like back to winning the title, but they're pretty good. And they're interesting. It looks like they're going to get Iggy, Andre Iguodala. Andre Iguodala at this point is an expensive old guy who situationally can help you a little in the half court. He's not changing. He's not beating Milwaukee. He's not going to beat the Clippers or Lakers. But it makes him interesting. So let's think about this. Pat Riley is as smart as any current basketball executive in the world. It took him 6 years post-LeBron to just get interesting in Miami. And this is what I've said about the Lakers and Kyle Kuzma. Be very careful. Be very careful trading Kyle Kuzma. So when you get LeBron, and this is what's happened in Cleveland twice, in Miami and the Lakers, you have to get rid of all the young guys and you get all these veterans who can win now, and then LeBron leaves you and you are a mess. Miami, in a great city with a great history, with a brilliant, brilliant basketball mind in Pat Riley, it took him, if this deal goes through, 6 years just to get quote unquote interesting in the East. In the East. That's why I say, I don't think the Lakers win it this year. I think they're really, really good. Lose to the Clippers. And they would lose to Milwaukee. Probably. And if they don't, then LeBron's a year older. I mean, Rondo's on life support. Dudley's on life support. Dwight Howard's, come on. And LeBron's now in his 18th year. And you trade Kuzma and you got no fresh legs. Fresh legs don't win you the title. But if you go last year and look at Toronto, Fred VanVleet, you know, having some young guys around. Siakam's obviously a very good player. But this idea that you can just go old, old, older, oldest. The Lakers at one point said they wanted Andre Iguodala. Really? Another old, expensive guy? So Doug Gottlieb always says this about LeBron. We know he's great. But man, when you cater to his every wish, and they did in Miami, and they did in Cleveland, and they are in Los Angeles, sometimes he leaves, and it is a decade, if you could even do that, to clean it up.
One of the things we give credit to LeBron for, guys that love LeBron like you and Nick Wright and others. Hey, when he leave, look at the record for the Cavs when he left. Look at the record for the Heat when he left. Part of it is that's who LeBron is. Like, you try and create everything to be perfect for him, and when he leaves, it's like the kid that comes over to your house, and every time he comes over to your house, right, somebody ends up being sick or the playroom's messed up, and you're like, what happened? They're like, well, LeBron was here. This is what happened. LeBron's a lot of fun, and everybody has a good time, and then when he leaves, you know, everything is a mess.
By the way, I'm a parent. That's his best analogy ever. That really happens all the time. So, and I will say this about Miami. Not only did it take Pat Riley in a great city with a great owner and great history. And by the way, Spoelstra's a great coach. A lot of you fans bang on him. This is one of the few teams in the NBA that plays defense every night. So Spoelstra's a great coach. He really is. He's a top 5-6 coach in the league. Riley's a genius. Mickey Arison's a great owner. It's an amazing basketball city. It's got a great basketball culture. It's in a state with no state tax. You look out your door, it's aqua water in the winter. It is great. And it took him 6 years, if this deal goes through, to get interesting. Cleveland twice has never recovered without LeBron. They've never recovered. So just be very careful about trading Kyle Kuzma for another old guy. Because if the Lakers don't win it this year, next year is what? who do you have? You spend so much time scouting and drafting and developing Kyle Kuzma. Ship him off. Have you noticed Brandon Ingram now in New Orleans? Having a hell of a year. You put a lot of time into Brandon Ingram, got no payoff, and it's New Orleans that gets all the payoff. LeBron's not lasting forever. This team in L.A. is good enough to win now. I don't think they will, but the Lakers are good enough to win now. Let's keep the one young player, the one pair of 26 minutes a night fresh legs at 6'8", that can still hit an occasional three. Keep Kuzma.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
You know, my wife, I say something, and I say, oh, I like your jacket.
Right.
Where'd you get that new jacket? She goes, well, no, I saved you money on this. It was on sale. And the old joke is, God, I'm going to go broke with you saving me money. And we joke about this, good-natured, but there is the media loves to spend everybody else's money. The media is always saying, pay for that player, pay for that player. Is it your money? Oh, okay, because you're an expert. We're all experts in the media spending your money as a GM or an owner. And there's an old rule in investing. Never invest in a company unless everybody's got their own money in it. Not daddy's money. Daddy's rich and daddy hands you a bunch of money. I want it. No. You're just losing daddy's money. Your money. Okay, Chief, I'm not interested in your daddy. I'm interested in you. Never go into business with a rich dad's kid who doesn't have his own money because they don't have the sweat in the game. They got nothing to lose. It's daddy's money. And so everybody says, Mookie Betts, $400 million. What were the Red Sox thinking? And I thought a lot about this last night because I became your typical media guy. How can you not spend $400 million? You can't spend $400 million on a baseball player. Mike Trout finished in fourth last year. Okay, the Angels with Mike Trout, the World Series odds, the same as the Cincinnati Reds. Okay, the Atlanta Braves, you can't name two players on the Braves. Fourth best World Series odds. The Dodgers keep either getting to the World Series or winning their division, and they won't spend big money until Mookie Betts. The reality is, if I asked you, Mookie Betts wants $400 million for 10 years. In the entire world, I'm not talking like, let's not talk global soccer, but I'm talking all of our pro leagues. If I said $400 million, 10 years, $40 million a year, there is one guy I'd pay it to, Patrick Mahomes. And I would have a meeting and consider Giannis. That is it. I love Russell Wilson. He's 31. I want to be paying him $40 million a year at 29. That runaround stuff's not going to look as good at 38 as it does at 31. And I love Russell. One guy, Mahomes. That is it. And for the record, baseball's not football. You can't get to Super Bowls generally, consistently, without a real guy, a Hall of Fame guy throwing it, a Peyton, a Brady, a Breeze, a Mahomes. That gets you to the game. You can have the occasional Kaepernick in a system, but that doesn't last very long. So, again, the media loves spending everybody else's money. Mookie Betts, I can't do it. Mike Trout's in fourth place. Mike Trout's, he had never won a playoff game. You can't name players on the Braves. They have fourth best odds. So I get it. I mean, I get it. I would spend it on Patrick Mahomes, and I would have a meeting on Giannis. I would sit down and have a meeting and figure out a way to make it work. Well, first of all, I picked San Francisco to win the Super Bowl, and I said, I hope I'm wrong, because one of my favorite humans in the NFL is Andy Reid. And I think even my friends, I live next to San Francisco 49er fans in Los Angeles, and they were all like, yeah, but we lost Andy Reid. We all like Andy Reid. We're okay with Kansas City winning. He joins us now via the Tower Global Satellite Network, powered by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. You know, Andy, I know you're a football guy, and you don't listen to most of us loudmouths on radio and TV, but there was this thing hanging over you for a long time. Well, Andy can't win the Super Bowl. Did it ever even a little bit, Coach, bother you?
Not really. I feel better about seeing the smile and the tears with the players and the coaches, and I've always been that way. I'm in it to teach and to do all of that, and I don't listen to the other part of it.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I don't want to take away from the fact that I like to win. And so that's a big part of it. And that's obviously the ultimate goal of all of us is to win the Super Bowl. So I love the experience.
You know, Andy, I said before the game is I felt you had the best player, but they had a deeper roster. When you were looking at film for 2 weeks with San Francisco, Andy, did you ever look at that and think, fellas, they got a lot of talent here. This is going to be a four-hour effort for us to win. Were you at times looking at that film thinking, have we met our match?
No, I didn't look at it that way. I looked at it that their defensive front sure was good, and then you're always looking for matchups and that and or mismatch, however you want to call it. But matchups become a big thing in the NFL. So I thought we were okay going into it. I did say, though, that I thought it would take four quarters. You had the two best teams of football playing each other. And so we prepared ourselves for that. And that's kind of what we got.
Andy, people won't talk much about your defense because of your offensive history and success. But I felt in week 11 to week 12, I don't know what happened, but something clicked, Andy, and your defense was significantly better. What was it?
Well, I think we made progress all the way through. They were just, it was small increments. So to somebody's eye that's possibly not a coach, you're not going to see those small things that were taking place. The players saw it. That's why they all bought in and stuck together during that time and didn't turn on the coach and things that you see in this league. So I felt like if we just hung in there and kept that going with those small increments, eventually this thing would kick in and it come to our advantage, and that's what ended up happening.
Two and a half years ago, Peter Schrager said to me, he said, I just talked to Andy Reid, and I went, he goes, this Mahomes kid is, even Andy can't contain himself. So I want to go back. Obviously, you looked at a bunch of college stuff, and then you draft him, and then he's in your rooms on your practice field. Go to the moment, Andy, when you turned to your personnel guy, your GM, Brett Veach, and said, oh, Lord, this is all different. When did you know?
Well, first of all, I give all the credit to Brett Veach. He's the one that laid his name out there to Dorsey and I and made us watch clip after clip after clip. And so we brought him in for this six-hour interview and beat him up for that period. And I came out of that going, you know what? There's some things here that Brett said he was the best player I'd ever seen. I can see some of these characteristics that he talked about with leadership and how intelligent he is and all those things. Well, then you go, well, let's see what he can do here, you know. And then he comes in, and during the rookie mini camp, I go, all right, he did well with the rookies. And then the vets come in, and all of a sudden now you see those veteran players that have been around a little while, Justin Houston, Eric Berry, these guys go, oh, my gosh, this guy's unbelievable. And so I'm going, all right, well, now we got to see him in a game. He had a chance to play against Denver, and
yep,
he did that same stuff, you know, and the rest has been history here.
You know, now you're the champ, Andy. Listen, it is, you're going to be good for a long time, but now the standards changed. We want Super Bowls from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. This is a unique territory. You celebrate. It's the top of the world. How do you defend against, you know, the kind of things we know happened? How do you become the Patriots and not a one-off?
Well, I think you need to stay humble, and that's what this team was all about this year. They stayed humble and they worked hard. And so if you had to draw two characteristics from them, that's what you drew, and then they've got to understand that. I think we have a couple core players in there that are naturally that way, and I don't think all of this will get to them. But you know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I love the challenge, though. I mean, let's go. Let's roll and see how it goes. There's nothing that time tells all you, it tells that story, and we'll just see how it rolls.
Hey, during the game, you guys have now kind of a trend of playing from behind. I know it's not ideal. I know Andy Reid doesn't wake up on Sunday and say, I can't wait to play from 10 down. Explain it, because you're great at it, but you don't want to play from behind. What kind of goes on to that through that?
Well, that wasn't really our MO coming into the playoffs. We normally had the lead. We get in the playoffs, all of a sudden we're this behind team, 24, 10, you know, 7, and now that's who we are. But up to that point, that's not the case. And but listen, we did good with it. And you're right. I'm getting too old, man. This heart right here, doggone. Again, those leads, they drive you about crazy. But our guys, they handled it well. I'm proud of how they handled it on both sides of the ball. You really got to see the unity and the personality of this football team through that adversity. And I'm proud of, again, I'm proud of how they handled it, coaches and players.
By the way, seven seasons with the Chiefs. It's great for the league to have a well-liked and respected coach and quarterback, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid in Kansas City, right smack dab in the middle of the country, a smartly owned franchise. Now, you're a workaholic. You admit that. You love the game. Now, can you take 5 or 6 days off and just forget football now? You know, go to Mexico, go to Miami. Are you going to take a little break, a tiny break?
I'm not going to Mexico or there. I'm coming to see you, doggone it, and get a nice big In-N-Out burger or something. So I'm going to sneak out to California for a couple of days and take a breather. I will tell you this, Joy, your hometown there treated us like gold, and they were beautiful, and the food was perfect, man. We had some Cuban food that was unbelievable, and a few of those sandwiches went down real easy.
Thank you, Andy. Congrats.
Andy, everybody is so happy for you, and congratulations. You know how much we adore you, and it's great for Kansas City and everybody involved. Thanks so much, Coach.
All right, Colin, thank you.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
All right, let's bring on Rick Bucher, Fox Sports NBA analyst, one of my buddies in this business, somebody I absolutely love, who covers the NBA but lives in San Francisco in surfing territory, so you know all about it. Okay, I'm just going to give you my takeaway. Wiggins is a 3 in this league. He's not a 2. He's been a bit of a disappointment. D'Angelo Russell's best friend is Karl Anthony Towns. So I think Minnesota today feels like, listen, at least they'll get along. Our two stars are buddies because Wiggins and Cat wasn't working.
Yeah. Joy, what is it that he's so excited about two bad teams trading their problem players and the Miami Heat upgrade and make themselves a little closer to contenders? And you're like, meh.
Colin loves transactions,
yeah.
The draft.
I love it. I love
movements.
Acquisitions.
Yes.
I'm a power-hungry, crazy
He's
person.
Like a broker.
I like that. She's right. Listen, D'Angelo and Wiggins are super talented.
Yes.
Sometimes in life, Rick, it's a lousy fit.
Yes, you're right. And I like this trade in that I don't like it for Minnesota.
You don't?
No, because that they're friends. And their friends who are both indifferent about playing defense.
Well, yes.
Scares me for the team.
Yeah, they'll be bad defensively.
Yes, and you know, God, pour one out for Ryan Saunders, because what's he supposed to do now? In that he's obviously been co-opted. It's Kat and it's D'Angelo, and they're going to go as those two go. And
but couldn't
I'm not
I argue
confident.
This? At least in Minnesota.
Yeah.
There were tensions between Wiggins and Karl Anthony. At least their games offensively would appear to work, and they like each other. Simmons and Embiid don't even like each other.
No, again, I like the change, and I like it for the Warriors in that D'Angelo clearly, their hope was he would adopt the Warriors culture. He clearly did not. It didn't change him whatsoever. He was still the same player. Andrew Wiggins, this is going to be the first time that he actually makes a move, and that always has an impact on a young player. Like, oh, wait a minute. I'm not a centerpiece. Oh, I'm not immovable. And sometimes it causes them to mature and to rethink how they play. And so I like taking a shot at, can he adopt the Warriors culture? Can he become what he's physically capable of becoming? And as a 3, he fits much better next to Clay and to Steph. But the other part, see, what makes me nervous is that you might be one of those people that is saying, oh, well, you flipped D'Angelo and you got this number one pick, or you got this first round pick that could be number one. The Warriors are going to be right back to contenders next year.
Well, it's why not?
No.
Okay,
no.
Kayvon Looney, no. Draymond, Wiggins, Steph, Clay, Steve Kerr. Why not? And a bunch of good draft picks.
Because Kevin Durant covered a multitude of sins.
I'm not saying they're going to win the title.
Okay, but you're saying they're going to contend for a title?
You tell me You tell me three players. If I said Steph, Clay, Wiggins, it's a pretty good top three. That's pretty darn good. Dallas has two. Clippers have three because of Lou Williams. Most teams don't have a third guy that can drop 24.
Okay, but
who's the Lakers three?
What they hung their hat on was defensively. And defensively that you could switch everything.
Okay, but Wiggins, is it fair to say this?
Wiggins is going to have to guard Paul George or Kawhi Leonard or LeBron James or, like, he's better. He's better than what they have. But he's so good. Look, they used to have Andre Iguodala, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson. You put any small forward out there, we're going to rotate quality defenders through there. Now you're hanging on Andrew Wiggins, and we'll see. I assume Klay Thompson's going to be the same as when he gets back.
They're not done making moves. They got picks all over the place. Go get some defensive help. What do you mean?
I need people to take a step back and appreciate what they were.
Yes.
And not like Iggy's gone and ignore that Kevin he covered up a multitude of things that changed about that team. They weren't as deep. They were top heavy.
Yes.
And these guys had played deep into 5-6 seasons in a row. Like, they were worn out.
Next year they won't be.
We'll see.
Well, I mean, Clay's not playing, Steph's not playing, and that's like LeBron. LeBron had a great October, November, December because he was rested.
And maybe most important, though, can Draymond Green become a defensive player of the year again?
No, but he can be good. Clay's excellent.
You're still light on the bench. And this draft in particular, like, are you going to flip this pick for a couple of quality veteran players?
Yes, absolutely.
You're going to do that right now?
Yeah, I don't want the lottery pick.
Okay.
I'm not interested at all.
All right.
Well, go give the lottery pick to Memphis or somebody.
Your plan has some reason to it.
Yeah, Golden State is a mature franchise. They don't need lottery picks. You take that pick and you go to a team like Denver, who is like, we could really use some length and one more guy who can, we'll take the pick and you give us blank. What they need now, they got scores. They need a tough guy. Mm-hmm. That like Draymond is one. They're a small team now, by the way. Golden State is a small team with shooters.
Right.
I'm not saying, I think you listen, they're not going to be the Mercedes they were with Durant, but they're not a Kia. Next year, they're going to be good.
Yes, they will be good. They should be a playoff team.
Yes.
For sure. And maybe this is where I'm misinterpreting what you're saying. I've just heard too much, particularly living in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Like, the pick, flipping D'Angelo Russell, we're going to be right back at the top.
No.
And I just think that's unrealistic.
I think it's a Milwaukee Clippers league for about 2 to 3 years. Lakers just on the outside. Okay. Here's the other thing.
And Miami.
Let's slow down. We'll get to that in 1 second. So, for years, Clint Capella, I heard 3 years ago, I love him. And then 2 years ago, I have lunch with Daryl Morey. We love him. And then I hear, a year ago, I love him. Gives you a lot of easy baskets, protects the rim. Today, they bail on him.
Right.
Why? Because Westbrook can't shoot, and you can't have two guys on the floor that can't shoot, and you're tied to a $41 million deal over the next 4 years, which is, next to John Wall, untradeable. I look at Houston today, and I feel like a mess, kind of.
You're making the wrong comparison, or you're pointing to the wrong thing. Clint Capella is Todd Gurley. The big man in the NBA is the running back in the NFL. You need one, and you need a good one, but you can't pay a premium price for it.
All right.
So Capella, they had to pay to keep as an asset. In the playoffs last year, they discovered, he's just a rim runner, and he's way too expensive as just a rim runner. He's not a big-time player. We need to get off of this, and they're also under new ownership, and new ownership always likes, the first thing they like to do is get the books right and cut the excess fat. We can get a guy who can basically do what Capella does for a lot less. We need to do that now because we're not going to pay heavy money for this. Now, the Russell Harden thing, I'm not sure that ultimately works and gets you to where you want to go. But this was really about, for the same reason that the Rams would move Todd Gurley, we need to have flexibility, and we've invested way too much in something that we can get for less.
But let's admit, the Harden-Westbrook thing now?
Yes.
In the West, what is it?
I agree.
It's a bunch of nothing.
It has the potential to be better in the postseason than it does right now.
So I trust Harden, okay? You're telling me my 2 and 3 in the playoffs are Covington and Westbrook.
Yeah.
That's what I got to depend on in the West. I'm not buying that.
Again, I didn't see this as we're getting better or we're strengthening our ability to play for a championship right now.
We have flexibility.
Flexibility, get our books right, and we don't think we're going to be any worse.
Oh, great.
That's what deal as.
Let's have some Cristal on that. All right, let's go to Miami. So when Miami makes the Iggy deal, they're paying him a lot of money for 2 years, but whatever. The first thing I thought of was LeBron and the Lakers.
Yeah.
So Pat Riley, first of all, there's a global presence with the Miami Heat. It's a real owner, Pat Riley, mm-hmm. Spoelstra. Mm-hmm. These are really smart guys. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a really good organization. It's mm-hmm. respected. I got aqua water in the winter. I got no state tax. It's the only Eastern team that has been very attractive to free agents. The Knicks haven't. Nets haven't. I mean, anybody would go to Miami in the winter. It attracts. Mm-hmm. Everybody Fair. Likes Miami. Fair. I was just there. I like Miami. Okay. But 6 years after LeBron leaves, it took 6 years for Spoelstra, Riley, Mickey Arison, Aqua Water to get to a point where we're like, oh, that's interesting. This is the downside to LeBron and the Lakers.
100%.
Okay. So as Doug Gottlieb said, it's like the kid that comes over for your kid's party and everybody has fun.
Yeah.
And then he leaves and the house is a disaster and everybody's sick.
Yes.
Is that you start trading away Kuzma. All these LeBron teams get old and expensive.
Yeah.
And so it took Pat Riley 6 years from LeBron to get interesting.
Yep.
This is why I wouldn't have traded Kuzma. You can't just go to LeBron's whims and get old. What if the Lakers don't win this year? What are they next year? Rondo, Dwight, LeBron. Come on.
But when you have LeBron and you have LeBron at this stage, I don't know that you can do it any other way.
Really? Be just you old swing, and expensive?
You swing for the fences and you go for it. Because what's the alternative? You're going to hedge your bet?
The alternative is when LeBron leaves, we're not a grease fire for 8 years.
But what have they been for the last 6 years? The Lakers have been that. So if you get a championship, and by the way, if you get a championship that, ties you with the Celtics in overall championships?
Yeah, this is not the Cavs, though. I mean, if you're the Cavs, you'll take the title because you've been irrelevant for 70 years. But these big historic brands are worth so much money. When the Lakers were bad for 5 years, it was tense.
It was still better than the Clippers. The Clippers were the better team, and the Lakers franchise still, their logo and their brand still endured.
So you would have traded Kuzma to get an old guy?
Yeah, I'm not. Well, look, if you're trying to do something in the playoffs this year, Kuzma's not going to get it for you. Are they appreciably better? Do I like them better overall as a playoff team right now? Or with the anticipation that you're getting Marcus Morris for Kyle Kuzma and Danny Green? Yes. Yes, I am. I believe that you will be a better playoff team. Now, you got to re-sign Marcus. You got to re-sign Anthony Davis. I mean, that's the other part here. So you hedge your bet and you don't go anywhere in the playoffs. You're out in the second round.
That's my
takeaway. Does Anthony Davis say,
no,
I'm staying for this?
Yeah. But again, the Lakers, the Clippers are better and Milwaukee's deeper. They're both better and better. Lakers don't have anybody that defends at this point. Milwaukee plays real defense. I don't like Miami, but they play defense. Spoelstra makes you play defense. Clippers play real defense. I don't think the Lakers can defend well enough to win. If Anthony Davis is out for a game, they can't stop you and me.
That's the biggest problem, is that Anthony Davis has to be all that Anthony Davis has been to this point. LeBron James has to be all that he's been to this point. And can they both be that for the remainder of the season to maintain pace, to not have the Clippers blow by them? And by the way, who's first and who's second, really? They're playing in the same building. I mean, the colors change. That's it.
All right. We got another one. You got any music? You got breaking news stuff back there, hockey score guy? Come on, Goulet.
I left my phone over there.
Breaking news.
The Knicks are finalizing a deal to send Marcus Morris to the Clippers for Mo Harkless.
That's it?
And other assets.
The big question is Landry Shamet.
I don't want to give up.
That was the holdup.
Boy, so the Clippers are... I like Landry Shamet.
Young shooter. Shocking.
Did you see what Landry Shamet did last night?
I'm telling you.
No, he's a good young player.
He's a good young player. He scores well. He shoots it well. He can't defend his position.
Okay,
that's what scares me.
Let's get over defense.
But I have to tell you,
they got a lot of guys who can defend.
I have to tell you, this is a shocker.
So
I was told this morning that the Clippers would not let go of Shamet, and the goal with particularly with Leon Rose becoming the next president of the Knicks, Kuzma is a CAA client. I was literally told they are trying to move Marcus Morris to get Kyle Kuzma. I fully expected the Marcus Morris.
So the Clippers stepped right in front of him again.
They jumped him. And I'll tell you what, man, that changes the dynamic. I like the Lakers with Marcus Morris. I really like the Clippers with Marcus Morris. They needed to get deeper at the big positions so that when they play Jokic, they can put somebody that puts Jokic in a difficult position where he's got to guard them out of the three-point line. Marcus Morris can do that. He's strong enough to defend him for short minutes. Montrez is good enough for short minutes. Zubac can give you short minutes. If this is true, that is a great move for the Clippers.
Per Sham Sharanya, he's been accurate before.
Yeah, I would. Look,
he comes on my show.
I know that they were talking to both the Lakers and the Clippers.
Yeah, you know what that sounds like? First of all, the Clippers really annoyed the Lakers the way they did the Kawhi thing. and so according to, Goulet, pipe in here. What do you got?
The Lakers basically pulled Kuzma out of any trade deal.
Okay, so the
Morris.
Lakers think like I do. 26 minutes a night. 6'8", juice, can hit a three. You guys are all bailing.
He's never been in the playoffs.
Oh, God.
He's never been in
James.
The playoffs.
He can't take him under his wing.
You know what he said about LeBron James.
Oh, who cares? LeBron's not secure enough to handle that.
Are we going to look at LeBron's history about being secure when guys go at him?
Doug Gottlieb rips me on my own show every time he comes on. I still like him. So what? You guys treat Kuzma like he's in his 20s, a 26-minute-a-night guy.
This may come as a shock to you. Not to you guys, but to you. You are more secure than LeBron James.
No.
I guarantee you that.
Well, I have a set of pipes here that is, it's a standard in the industry. I just want to say this.
Yeah.
It does appear that the Lakers are listening to this show and listening to me because I've been pro Kuzma for 2 years and they've turned down 9 offers. You guys are just throwing Kuzma like he has no value.
This is where I'm not throwing him away that he has no value. Just for where the Lakers want to go, and they want to go right now. He's never been playoffs. The one reason that I would go with you on this is I love the Lakers' chemistry. I like what they have.
It's been great.
I wouldn't mess with it. Like, I think that that's an intangible that we don't give enough credit to. And so that would be the biggest reason for me to say, we're not moving Kuz. We're not moving Danny. We're not moving anybody. We like what we have. We'll go to the wall.
I hear this all the time. Well, I mean, Kuzma's never been in the playoffs. At some point, somebody gave Rick Bucher an NBA beat writer job.
Yes.
And they said, Bucher's never covered an NBA beat. And they trusted your talent to be good.
Yes. They put me on TV for the first time.
And you'd never been on TV.
They did it on Tuesdays on a tape delay. They didn't immediately have me covering the NBA finals. You got to get your feet wet. Kyle Kuzma has never even had his feet wet.
Kyle Kuzma, by the way. You and your new crazy hair, none of these guys like you. This show likes you. Joy and I are Kuzma fans.
Good. I'm not saying I'm not a Kuzma
fan.
You
guys treat him like a spare tire in a trunk. Yeah, he's never been in a playoff game. Well, so what? A lot of young people haven't been there. Let him get there and let's see it.
But we're talking about him, unless you're an Alex Caruso fan.
He's fine.
Being the third best player on a championship team.
He's not. Danny Green will be the third guy you lean on. Kuzma's your four.
Yeah. Rick, sharks are born swimming.
Boom.
Remember that.
Boom. Okay.
I don't even know what that means.
Neither do I. So I'm not going to talk about this, but I'm going to say it, but I don't care about it. Cleveland's finalizing a trade for Andre Drummond of Detroit, who's talented according to Woj, but what's it matter? Sexton's a bust, by the way. I watched him 2 nights ago. Yeah, he's a bust.
So they're getting Andre Drummond, but they're not moving Tristan Thompson.
I thought they were going to. He's
the
really...
Well, there was talk about him going to the Rockets, but that supposedly fell through.
All right, that Sharks whatever she
Sharks
said.
Sharks are born swimming. Let's go. Make it happen.
Okay, so then Kyle Kuzma should have already been in the playoffs the first minute that he got into the NBA.
No, he's not the Shark.
Based
he's
on that analogy.
He's not the shark in Jaws. He's a baby shark swimming around who's got the potential to bite you.
Are you getting in a pool now with the baby, shark?
Now the baby shark is theme is going to be in my head the rest of the
baby
day. Thank you.
Shark.
Oh, no. Okay, that's enough from you. All right, Rick Bucher, awesome stuff. Cavs finalizing a trade for Andre Drummond on the screen. That'll audience members will flee reading that fascinating trade.